My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Blake Farenthold. He represents his state's 27th congressional district, and he is a member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. As you may know, that's the panel chaired by California's Darrell Issa, which has taken the lead for the past couple of years into the investigation surrounding Fast and Furious. That was the government-run gun-walking operation that sent tens, if not hundreds of thousands of guns south of the border into Mexico into the hands of Mexican drug cartels. They've resulted in the deaths of hundreds of Mexicans and of great concern, of course, here in the United States to border security, Brian Terry, who was killed as a result. Firearms related to this program found at the scene of his murder. This past Wednesday, we got the Inspector General's report from the Department of Justice on this issue, and the congressman is here now to weigh in on what he thinks of that. And, sir, thanks so much for being with us.
Always fun.
Well, it's certainly...
Wish I had something better to talk about, though, than a Justice Department gone wild.
It certainly has been a roller coaster investigation over the past couple of years. The reaction from the Justice Department is that this exonerates Attorney General Eric Holder. Others on the right have said this shows that either he has no idea what his Justice Department is doing or deliberately didn't want to know, because most of what the Inspector General says is that a lot of things went wrong here, but most of the information didn't make it to Holder's desk. So how do you read all this?
Well, you know, a good manager knows what's going on in his or her organization, and we've seen right here that if the report is accurate and Eric Holder did not know about it, it's pretty clear that he should have known about it, if for no other reason than even the executive summaries of some wiretap applications that were approved by some of his top lieutenants.
And so what is the committee going to do from here? Is it going to bring some of these officials back before the panel for more testimony? How does this work?
Well, we're continuing our investigation. We've issued one of three reports of the Government Oversight and Reform Committee plans. The first one was dealing with the field offices in Arizona. The next one will deal with the Justice Department and ATF and how they managed it. And then the third one will deal with, for lack of a better term, is the cover-up. You know, what happened after all of this happened. We still haven't gotten all the documents that we want. This Inspector General's report, which really I think vindicates what we did, the Inspector General had access to thousands of documents from within the DOJ that we didn't have, and we're still pursuing those despite the DOJ's reluctance and a claim of executive privilege from the president. And one other issue that I think it's important to note, there are several people that the Inspector General from the DOJ was not able to talk about, including folks within the White House, because we do know that this made it through a guy named Kevin O'Reilly in the White House. He was in the National Security Council, and he was not able to be interviewed, and the White House declined to share internal communications. So there's still some more to be looked at, certainly with respect to how it was handled after we found out about what was going on.
Anything in the investigating that you've done as a committee or in this Inspector General's report that indicates that the White House did know? You mentioned just a moment ago the executive privilege that was invoked that a lot of people thought was inappropriate due to the fact that the administration claims there was no knowledge of it. So was there anything in your investigation or in this report that suggests that that invoking of executive privilege was appropriate or inappropriate?
I actually asked the Inspector General that question when he was presenting the report to the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. And he dodged that question pretty well. But the way the Supreme Court defines executive privilege, it's restricted to the president and his closest advisors and deals with the deliberative process reflecting, you know, the process that happens before something happened when alternatives and such are discussed. And I can't believe it extends to any documents that are solely within the Department of Justice, because I don't think that's close enough to the president for executive privilege to apply. And now, if executive privilege does apply, it means the president and or his highest level advisors were involved and knew what was going on. And this report says that they that certainly in the case of Eric Holder, that there was no knowledge. So they can't have it both ways. Executive privilege can't apply or if Holder didn't know about it, or if the president didn't know about it.
We're talking with Texas Congressman Blake Farenthal. And, sir, just a moment ago you said that the Inspector General, in his testimony before your committee following the issuing of the report, dodged your question. Do you believe that this was done as in an objective way, or do you think that his work was somehow tinged by politics?
No, I think he did a fairly good job. I mean, he's not a judge. It's really not for him to make that decision. And he was smarter in not answering it than he would have been in answering it. So I was just hopeful to get something on the record that might have helped in the litigation to get Holder to turn over the documents. But I don't fault him for that. You hit on the other question that I asked, though, is what's the political motivation for it, if any, and where did it kick in? His report didn't indicate any political motive early on, but he did say that after it was discovered, there was some interest in using it to as an excuse to gin up some public sentiment for tightening gun laws. Now, I'd like to continue the investigation to see if that didn't happen, you know, before it came to light, if that wasn't something behind it. I'm not sure that's not the case. I get a lot of people asking me that question, and I'd like to continue to investigate it. But it is pretty clear that after it broke, there was some desire, and for lack of a better word, I'm going to use exploit the tragedy to tighten gun laws. And you even saw that in our committee hearing, as several of the Democrat members alluded to the fact that Fast and Furious might not have happened had we had stricter gun laws.
We mentioned you represent the 27th District of Texas. For those who don't have a map of the Texas congressional delegation in their head, they should know that that's right down there on the Mexican border, right at the tip where the Gulf meets Texas and Mexico. How big of an issue is this in your district?
You know, there's a big concern about the border in the district, and we're starting to see violence related to the drug cartels start to spill over to the U.S. side of the border. You know, the border towns, Brownsville and the rest of the Rio Grande Valley, they're pretty much as safe as most cities in the U.S., but there are a lot of people involved in the drug trafficking industry that are at risk, as are the farmers and ranchers in particular, whose property these drug runners traverse, bringing their product into the country and taking the guns and money back into Mexico.
You mentioned that one of three reports has been issued by the committee. When can we expect the next one and the third one?
I think the second one we will see not too far in the future. But the third one, again, we're having trouble getting the documents we need as to how the DOJ handled their responses to Congress and what happened after all it happened. You know, that's kind of the third report is what happened after this broke. And those are a lot of the documents that we're having trouble getting.
Do you expect at least the second one in this Congress?
I do.
Okay. We'll be
And I think they're shooting for the third one, but I wouldn't bet the farm on it.
Well, very good, sir. Thank you so much for your time. As always, we appreciate it.
Good talking to you.
Thank you, sir. Texas Republican Congressman Blake Farenthal represents his state's 27th Congressional District, member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, which has taken the lead in the Fast and Furious investigation. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.